Be the first. Are you ready to be the first?
Yes.
It's easy to come in second. It's easy to, you know, let somebody else be the first. But can you be the first? Can you be the first one to speak a happy word? Can you be the first one to say something beautiful to another person? Can you be the first one to be the creator of your world in a very dynamic, forceful, positive, beautiful way? Well, if you are, then that's great. If you aren't, then that's great. Now, it's very important for all of us to realize one little thing. Let's see, who shall we ask the question of? We'll ask the question of Gertrude. Gertrude, why must you always be the first? Or why is it impossible for you not to be the second?
I am number one.
To be the second. Oh, you're number one. Exactly. That's exactly the answer. So if we're number one, and we might say the only one, then there is no second. There's no. So if we don't do it first, if we don't speak up, then nobody's going to speak up. Nobody is possibly going to say anything positive and good and beautiful in our life if we don't do it, because there is nobody else. It's hard to realize. It's hard for us to conceive of the fact that there's nobody else in our world. Nobody. There's nobody else in our world. There's nobody else who is listening to our talk. Nobody else who's looking at us. We're not dressing to make somebody else look at us and think that we're handsome or beautiful. We're not, that's true. We're not wearing clothes because it might embarrass somebody. We're not dressing because it might not embarrass somebody. We're not doing anything for any other person in the world except for ourselves. Now, since that's the case, and if you all agree that that is the case, since that's the case, then if we don't speak up, nobody else will. So what is it that we are doing? Well, we say, I'm number one, I'm beautiful, I'm fantastic, I'm glorious, I'm whole and perfect, I'm all these wonderful things. We say these things, but in relation to what? In relation to what are we fantastic? In relation to what are we number one? In relation to what are we God? In relation to what are we beautiful and glorious and wonderful? Anita, in relation to what are we wonderful?
With the relation word. For me?
In relation to what?
Me.
Ourself.
Me, yeah.
We're only in relation to ourselves. There is no other relation. But we do have a relationship with ourselves.
Okay.
Because sometimes we think we're not good. Sometimes we think we're not as fantastic as we could be. Sometimes we think that we are we could have eaten that other bowl of ice cream. And we should have. But we didn't, because we felt that we might be uncomfortable later on. Are there any limitations to number one?
Nope.
Can number one eat a gallon of ice cream and not have a stomachache?
Yes.
Remember that. Remember that now.
Buy better milk.
Remember that. Now, can number one say yes or no to anything it chooses to say it to? Must number one say yes to something?
Nope.
To anything? Must it say no to anything? Is there anything bad in the life of number one that it must say yes or no to?
Not bad.
No. Why? What is in number one's life? No?
Only perfection, only goodness and perfection.
Goodness and perfection. Wholeness, goodness, perfection. That's all that's in number one's life. All that's in number one's life is all that we are. All that is. Yes? You're raising your hand or not?
No.
Well, watch it. See what power you have with that hand? Yes. So we are number one. We're fantastic. So be careful how you use that, because you might limit yourself, and you don't want to limit yourself. What would limit yourself? Yes, Devin?
Thinking I'm number two.
Well, that wouldn't limit yourself, because there is no number two. But thinking that you can't do something, thinking that there's anything that's impossible for you, can you conceive of anything that you might think of that would be impossible?
You go on, next time you're going to the moon.
Well, what we might think would be impossible would be for us to say something unkind to ourselves. We might think it's impossible for us to say that we are limited in any way. We might think it's impossible for us to say that we are not gloriously handsome and beautiful people. It might be impossible for us to think that we could say any one of these things. Can you conceive of that? That could be an impossibility?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was working on it, wasn't it? So, we always are speaking our word for ourselves. We always are being ourselves. We always are living ourselves. And we're always being the first. We're being the first in everything we do, in everything we say, in everything we are. We're being the first. We're being the first in everything we think, because there's nobody else thinking. Now, let's just play a little game here. God is God. And God is rumbling around the universe, and he says, let's see, or she says, I think that I'll create an earth, or maybe even a universe with an earth in it, and many earths in it. That'd be fun. A universe with many earths. You know, there's lots of stars, and many of the stars have Earth. But we'll start out with the Earth first. You know, the Earth and the, what's this galaxy that we're in here? What's the galaxy that we're in? What galaxy is Earth in?
Milky Way!
That's a candy bar, too. Yeah, the Milky Way. Okay, well, we're in the candy bar Milky Way galaxy. And isn't that interesting? God would think of putting us in a candy bar Milky Way? What a cool arrangement. I mean, he must be a cool God. Okay, so then God says, all right, I think I'll create an Earth. I'll create a bunch of other Earths, and I'll just press Control D in my Corel Draw, and it'll duplicate them, you know. But we'll start out with on Earth here. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
And so on Earth, we'll create it. Now, first, there was nothing. Right? First, there was nothing. And you, I, we, us as singular God, we look at the drawing board of the sky. It's blank. There's stars all around and other places, but we're zeroing in on Earth. And so we think, okay, now let's make Earth. Now, in the first place, Earth should be something really a harmonious place. Would you say that should be true? It should be a place that is harmonious to plant life, to humanity, to all good stuff. And it should have, sun, moon, stars. It should have rain. It should have dirt on the ground, you know, for things to grow in. It should have oceans for fish to be in, and all these things. But there are none of these things yet. This is just in God's mind, just in your mind. And so you think, okay, let's create this. Now, I am a good God, a good guy, and so I can only create good things. So I'm starting to create. And first I create everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the seas, and the animals and the creatures and stuff. And the last thing that I create is what I call man, my greatest creation, my most fantastic creation. The creation that is so much like me that it just makes me shudder sometimes to think about it. It's so much like me. It's the frame like me, the form like me, the idea like me. Well, why don't you just create yourself? I think I will. So God put all these little gods on earth. And all these little gods were just wonderful. But he started out with one guy. That is according to the story we have. And the one guy's name is Adam. And he says, hey, Ad, how you doing today? And Ad says, just fine, God. He said, but you know, God, I feel kind of awkward. I have this arm growing out of my back, and it would be nicer if it would be, you know, comparable to this arm here, because then I could do things together. Oh, okay, God says. So he pulls the arm off and shoves it in the side. Is that better? Yeah. Now I got a little more motion this way. God says, hey, that's cool. That's good. Uh-huh. Now you're really more like me. And then the man says, you know, God, if both my feet were going the same direction, it'd be easier for me to walk. One foot goes this way, one foot goes this way. And God says, yeah, mine are both going the same direction. I put yours that way because I thought it'd be interesting to see what you were going to do. You walk back and forward at the same time. And Adam says, but God, it's much more comfortable if they're both facing the same way. So, and God says, okay, twist it around, all perfect, perfect, no pain, no problem whatsoever. And so then Adam's standing there, he says, you know, God, why have I got this body? Why have I got this penis here? Why have I got this anus here? I'm not putting anything into it, you know? And God says, oh, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking it'd be kind of neat to eat. What's eat, you know? And God says, well, eating is when you put something inside that goes through and comes out, you know, the bottom. Well, that's interesting. Can I do that? And God says, well, why not? Well, what should I eat? Well, just eat the grasses of the field, the nuts and the fruit and all that good stuff, and that's all good for you to eat. And Adam says, oh, good. No, you got to chew it. You got to chew it, Ed. And Adam says, well, hey, that takes so long. Well, you're not in a hurry. You got forever. And so Ed is starting to chew the grass and chew these things. He says, that's not all too good, you know. It needs a little something special. Adam says, God says, yeah, I know it needs something special. And I tell you what it is. You need a cook. So I will create a cook for you. And so he creates this other creature. And he can't figure where to put the breasts, in the front or the back or by the butt or in the water. And so he ends up finally making a little mishmash. And Adam looks at it and says, God, you did the same thing again. You know, you got the arm in the back and you got this. And those things, you see where my breasts are, you know, and even though I don't need them for anything, they're there. Put hers up there too. And so Adam finally encouraged God to do the job right. And so God finally did the job right. And Adam says, okay, now what are we supposed to do? I told you, she's your cook. And so, what am I going to call her? Well, I made her this Eve for you, so let's just call her Eve. And so Eve now is with Adam. And Adam says, Eve, cook. And she says, what is cook? And he says, I have no idea, but God said that you were my cook. And Eve says, well, okay. So they played around for a couple of years and never figured out what cook was, because they really didn't need to eat, because they really were perfectly excellent without eating, and they had all this equipment, but they didn't need it, you know. And so one day, as they were out in the field, Adam was lighting his pipe, and he threw away the match, and it burned a bit of grass. And in the grass was a beautiful potato and a tomato and a carrot. And Adam picked them up and he says, look what we have here. Burned carrot, potato, and tomato. And he says, let me see that. And so she grabbed it a little bit hard and it squished in her hand. And she says, ooh. And she drank the tomato juice. She said, Adam, this is good. Try this, you know. And so Adam tried it. And so then they took the potato and they each took half of it and ate it. And, oh, this is nice. This is really good. And then they took the carrot. Ouch, that's so hot inside. But they each ate a carrot. And then Adam says, you know, Eve, I have a feeling that this is what God meant, was what we were to do, was to cook. We were to make the fire and then have these things be in it and then eat it. And Eve says, sure, okay. We'll cook every Friday. And Adam says, okay, super. So they cooked every Friday, and of course they didn't know when Friday was, so usually it's about a year in between each Friday. And then Adam says, you know, I'm getting kind of accustomed to this. I think I'd like to have this stuff a little more often. And Eve says, yeah, I kind of like it too. And so she made more and more and more. And life went on just like a ball for them. They had a good time, and they did everything. And then God said to Adam, now, whatever you name these things, that's what they are. And so Adam went around naming everything, and Eve took her notebook and her stenographic pad, and she kept the notes of all these things, so you know that they would be put into a dictionary one day and be available for all future generations, which they had no idea what future generations were. But they had a good time, and they played around together, and one night it was a little cool, and so they slept close together, and they found each other, and they found that they found sex. And Adam says, hey, that's all right. And Eve says, hey, that's all right. And so they decided to work on it quite a bit. And next thing you know, along comes two little monkey shines. And one of them was came along, and they said, what is this? And Eve was holding the little monkey shine, and Adam had been out carousing, you know, running around the countryside, having fun, and Eve was keeping the home fire burning, and Adam says, what is this? And Eve says, this is your child. And Adam says, oh, come on, it looks like a fish. So he threw it in the pond, and Eve says, no, that's your child, that's not a fish. And she brought it out of the pond and took it in the house and took care of it. And then a while later, they had another fish. And Adam was away at the time, and Eve had this thing, and Adam says, oh, throw it in the pond. And he says, no, don't you remember, this is not a fish. And so they raised the children, and they had two lovely children. Well, of course, the Bible story puts this in a different perspective, but we put it in this perspective, that Adam and Eve and the two kids, Abel and Cain, were just doing great. They're having a lot of fun. Eve, the garden was just really great. And Eve was a good cook. She really got into cooking. And the two boys were arguing that they wanted to have sex with their mother like their father did. And the father said, no way, no way. You don't fool around. This is mine. You go find something for yourself. And so the boys were arguing about this and really having a terrible time arguing about this. And Eve was walking through the garden one day, and she met this serpent. And the serpent says, I hear your boys are having a big argument about sex. And she says, yes, I don't know what to do about it. And he said, well, take them an apple. It'll help answer all their questions. And, of course, the apple was on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to take, because if they ate of the tree of good and evil, they'd know everything, you know. And so Adam took a bite of the apple, and he says, not bad. And the boys took a bite of the apple, and they said, not bad at all. And they ran off to find themselves some girlfriends. Now, where were the girlfriends coming from that Adam and Eve were supposed to be the first people on earth,
yeah,
and their only children were Abel and Cain, you know, two boys? You know, it doesn't quite work out that way. So, and then where did they find the girls? But they did. But you see, the story doesn't have to make sense. But remember, you are like Adam and Eve, but you are like Adam or Eve, one like Adam, and you're the first. You're the very first, so you can write the story any way you want. And there was nobody else around with their steno pad except Eve, and hers burned in the fire one day while she was cooking, so that was all lost. And so we have no reference as to what was going on in the Garden of Eden before they were kicked out by God for eating of the apple of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, there you have the creation story. Be the first. Be the first. The creation story doesn't have to always hold true to the story from the Bible. In fact, the more it goes away from the story of the Bible, the better people like it, because then they know that you're being creative. If you're just sticking to the story as it is in the Bible, people think that you're just saying what the Bible says. And that's not it. That's not what you want to do. Because as God created everything first, and everything that God created we are, we create everything first. You're going to create the first life that ever was yours. You're going to create the first experiences that you ever had, yours. You're going to create everything, and this is beautiful and good. This is fantastic, because this is who and what you are. And if you realize who and what you are, it always pays to make sure that you're running, you know. But if you always make sure who and what you are, you're going to have a beautiful, fulfilled, happy life. Our difficulty is that we don't always make sure who and what we are. We sometimes backtrack. We backtrack and we say that we're not God. We're not the creator of our universe. We're not magnificent. It looks like a fox walking along there, but it really is a dog. But it is really something to see when you see creation around you, when you see life around you doing beautiful things. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for a life where you are number one and the only one? Could you live on planet Earth by yourself? Could you be happy living by yourself? You have lived among other humans for so long that it's difficult for you to conceive of yourself as being the only being on Earth. Could you be the only being on Earth? Could you be content? Could you be happy? Could you feel that life was meaningful? Right now, if every other being on Earth dissolved, nothing terrible, just dissolved, and you were the only one here, oh, you would go to the drugstore, you'd go to the grocery store, and you'd eat up the foods that are there, and you would do whatever things you want to do, and then you'd get down to canned goods, and you'd eat the canned goods as much as they were, and then pretty soon you'd have to get down to fresh foods as you would find them growing in the wild jungles around wherever you are, because nothing has been maintained. The parks are now overgrown, the buildings are now being grown up by vines, just like the jungles have claimed many other areas of the world. And you might have a little house that you keep for yourself or something, but you would have no running water because there's nobody to maintain the electrical generating power stations. There's no television, no radio. You have all the videotapes in the world, but you have nothing to operate them. Of course, you could put them on battery-operated units. And you could even buy yourself a generator or Sears and pick it up and bring it home, and there's plenty of gas in the gas station, so you could run it for a long time and enjoy all these videos of when people were on Earth. But soon you'd get tired of that because it would bring back memories. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to bring back memories because memories are very sad. And so you stop looking at them. And you stop reading the books in the library because the books in the library just tell you of the achievements of people, the achievements of others. And then you think to yourself, well, here I am alone. I'm not hermaphroditic, so I can't procreate alone. There will be no children to follow me. There will be no wife, no family for me to maintain. I am here alone, so I might as well enjoy myself and do the things that are fun. So, is speed fun? No. When you're all alone, speed's not fun. What do you mean? No, speed is not fun when you're all alone. Because, you see, there's a rationale in your consciousness that says, do everything cautiously and carefully so you don't bring any harm to yourself that you need to have help to repair that there's no one there to repair. You're not going to cause yourself to go skiing and have accidents and have no one repair your leg and then you just freeze on the slope and then you're the last man on Earth, last woman. You're going to use good judgment. And you're going to smell the foods and the milk and the thing in the refrigerators and freezers, which are no longer freezing, and make sure that they're good to eat. Because if you don't, you will have a stomachache and there'll be nothing around to help you to heal that thing. So you're taking good care of yourself, aren't you? You like that, huh? Yes, Dr. Irene here. But These are all things. Now, why am I putting these thoughts in your consciousness?
That's principally what it is.
That's simply what it is. And what are you going to do about it? You're the only one left on Earth. You're going to live in a moderate, happy way, doing all things that are beautiful. Now, you can go down to the car dealer and get one of their brand new cars that has just been, conditioned, you know, ready to go on the road. It was for somebody else, but they're not here. And then you get their Navigator Expedition, or you get their Jaguar, anything that you want, and you go to the filling station, and you can't get the gas out because there's no electricity to run the pump. So here you have thousands of gallons of gas all over the city under the ground. It's not available to you. Mm-hmm. So you go someplace where it's above ground. You go someplace at a construction site where the gas is in a tank up above ground so that the trucks or the vehicles could come. Or you go to the golf course where it's above ground. You go any place where they have gas above ground, fill your tank. You see, you learn to think. You learn to think where things are. And then you take this nice car and you make sure it's in good condition. And you put in there whatever clothing or whatever things you want. And if you're going to go up to Mammoth or you're going to go to New York or you're going to go any place, you go. Don't expect to find anybody because there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you going to do when you go someplace? Where are you going to live? What stores are you going to frequent, patronize, you know? And what sort of things are you going to buy there? You know, buy the canned goods that they have in the store and take cash out of the cash register and give it back to them to pay them for it so you don't get something for nothing? Are you going to go to the bank and say, well, there's nobody here on earth. Let's have all the money. So now you're rich as can be and nothing to spend it on. And so you say, my name is Ellen Jeremy, and I'm going to go and get my yacht now. So you go down to the harbor, and you find a yacht that pleases you, the whatever it is, and you get on it. Now, there's nobody else to operate it but you. So you're not going to get a big sailing boat. You're not going to get something that is tough. But don't forget, the ocean is still the ocean.
Mm.
And you take a big yacht out in the ocean, you got to know where the reefs are. And you got to know where the swells are. You got to know how to handle it in that. So you might rethink running around on a yacht. And so you think, well, maybe a big motorhome. And I can go around with my house right with me, and I don't have to be concerned about anything. You just get gas here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just get maps of the country and get maps of all the golf courses in the United States. And at the golf courses, I know right where to go and get 75 gallons worth of gas and pump it in and be done. It's wonderful. You see, you're unlimited. You're unlimited, and you don't have to worry about your big motorhome. You just get yourself a 60-foot motorhome. You get yourself a giant bus, you know, that's fitted out like a fabulous house, and you can just drive it. But, of course, who needs that big a thing?
Right.
You want something compact with everything that you have in it, and you don't need clothing as long as you're warm, and so that's no problem. And you don't need a washing machine to wash your clothes to make you smell nice for somebody else, because there's nobody else around to smell nice for. So you just live as your heart content decides it. Now, we did forget one little thing here. And that little thing is that you are what?
Number one.
You are G-O-D.
Good.
And you can create anything you want. And so you think, I will create some other people.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. Now, what people have you known in your life that you would like to create to be in the world with you alone? You know, one or two or 100 people. What people do you know? Well, now, the people of the monastery would be great to have. We know who they are. But would they be cool under this type of situation? If I created those people here with nobody else on earth, would they be happy? Would they be content? Knows. So you, yeah?
Create some more.
Yeah, create some more. But even so, the more you create, pretty soon you have an earth filled with people again.
Yeah.
And you're here to be number one, to be alone. Can you really enjoy being by yourself? Can you really enjoy knowing who you are, or do you have to create people to be in your world to entertain you? Do you have to have people in your world to make you feel worthwhile? That's a big point.
Yeah.
That's a big point. You see, under the circumstance of nobody but you, that's not too hard because you don't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the choice, because you're God, that you can create as many people or any people that you want, would you create your mother and father?
No.
No. Would you create your brothers and sisters?
No.
No. Would you create your lovers in the past?
No.
No. In the present? No. You can create anything you want. You can create any type of person you want. So now, You go down to the Museum of Science and History, you go down to the Art Museum, and you begin to go through the books of the most beautiful looking people in the universe. And you select the bodies that you feel are perfect. Then you rip out those pages. And what's the difference? And you take them with you. Then you go to the universities and you pick out the most brilliant people in the world. And then you go back and read their autobiographies or you read about them to find out if they were loving people like this young man here, a gentle, loving person, although I think living with him would not be so pleasant. He's a nice guy and has a lot going for him, but he's too much. He's like overkill. My point of view. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. You don't want to create sappers in your world. You know what a sapper is?
Mm-hmm.
Sapper is someone who is always on your back saying you're so wonderful, what you want. By the time, you know, you're nothing by the time they leave. And they don't mean to, they do mean to do it, but they don't know that they mean to do it. So you don't want to create that. What other kind of person would you create? A person just like you? Oh, you couldn't stand that. You couldn't stand a duplicate of yourself. Really? Really? If you had to live with a person just like yourself, you'd go mad. Really? And I'm not kidding you.
It's just about how much else you like ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Now, do you know why? Because if you remember, at least I remember when I was in school, the kids I hated the most were exactly like me.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we were in competition with each other.
Yeah.
We were, I was just being myself and having fun, and they were being themselves and having fun, and they were being themselves and having more fun than I did, or something like that, you know. And that did not go over too well. But really, think of the type of people that have really made you happy in your life. What kind of people in your entire lifetime have really made you happy? Has there been anybody in your... Do you have a best friend? And the answer is no. Do you have someone who you've admired beyond a doubt who has never let you down? And the answer is no. Do you love your father and your mother? The answer is no. You like them, and they're your father and your mother. You respect them, but as far as wanting to live with them and be with them, you got out of the house as quick as you could. And it's not because they're bad people. It's just that you wanted to be yourself. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Face the facts and don't kid yourself. Because if you create people in your world like your parents, you're going to have to live with them. And you're going to have them on your back constantly because you're the only other people in the world. So now, who would you create? Who would you create? What type of personality would you create? What type of a being would you create? Now, you know what your archetypal self is. You know what an archetypal self can be. Would you create from the archetypal self? And again, I would say no. Because you would not create someone who was the ultimate perfection of what you should be and is expressing it. That would be tough. That would be very tough. So, what would you create as the person or persons that you could stand to live with? Now, certainly not Alias, your husband, not your children, certainly not anyone you've ever known, not me for sure.
Who says?
Oh, you wouldn't want me in your life.
Someone inferior.
Huh? Yeah, it would have to be someone who worshipped you, someone who you could be the teacher to, someone that you could show the way to, and someone who respected you without a doubt and wanted to follow whatever you told them to do.
I don't know that.
Oh, you don't know that.
No.
But don't say that as much as what kind of person would you like, because let yourself think about that and you'll come up with some interesting ideas. Now, what is it that you would think about? What is it that you would think about as a person for yourself?
I personally would think a person who would be very a free spirit, independent, doing his own thing, but just sharing together, maybe walking together, sitting together, talking together,
But everyone has his own interest and having a great time. And that doesn't mean that I would say, you have to do that. That would be established.
If there were two people on Earth,
yeah,
do you think that they would be apart from one another?
No. Well, apart.
No.
No.
They'd want to live near each other. In fact, in the same house, if possible. They'd want to be close. Just by the very fact that they're the only two people on Earth, you have to talk to somebody.
Well, that's the point. That would be a point of sharing, of talking, of maybe...
Why do you need to talk?
I don't say I need to, but that would be the part which would be actually the reason I would perhaps create somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the reason you'd create somebody is so they could be with you.
Well, at this moment, I can't imagine nobody around me because I'm so used to talk. So it's...
You can only talk to yourself, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I can imagine it, but really, really thinking there is nobody around, that means total fulfillment from within.
Yes, isn't that beautiful?
Total, yeah. That's total mastership.
And you think that you could handle?
Well, at this point, yes. Totally. Yeah.
At this point, yes. Yeah. What do you think, Gertrude?
I think it's a bit tough to think about this.
Who would you create with you in the world? What type of person? Not necessarily an individual. What type of person?
A person like me.
Like you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think a person like you?
Because I like
you. Yeah, that's good. But would you like someone else to be just like you? That's interesting. Okay.
I would not.
Huh?
I personally would not like
I'm not asking you what you would not like. I'm asking them what they would like. And if you butt in with saying you don't like it, then you're not giving them a chance to say what they like.
Yeah.
So, now, you would like that, huh?
Yeah, it could also be a little bit different, but not much different.
You'd like them of the same social structure, the same educational structure, the same interest structure, the same physical structure, healthy and so forth. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd like to create somebody like me, who expresses the best of me, what I like about me.
You would like to create someone who is like you, who expresses your finest qualities.
My finest qualities,
yeah. I don't really think that's true. Because you would be inferior to them. Because you have both your finest qualities and your unfinest qualities. See, now, if you were your finest qualities and they were your finest qualities, there might be a possibility, but even that would be tough. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you say if I would think of myself from my lowest qualities, but I would think that we would express both, because I would think that the person would be a reflection of me, because it can't be otherwise.
A bit like you, because it can't be otherwise?
No, a reflection of
me. A reflection of you.
Because it can't be otherwise.
Well, I'm saying that you can create any type of person you want. It can be like you or not like you. You can put any type of role on it, but it's still your reflection. But you can put any role on it. You go to the movie, and you're seeing the movie from your eyes. You're putting your reflection on that movie, even though that movie may be totally different than what you are. You may see a murder mystery, okay? And you've never murdered anybody, as far as we know. You've never murdered anybody, and so in the murder mystery, it is just a show. And you say, well, I think that was good, but this wasn't good, and that, you know, you're very objective about it. You understand what I'm saying? So, okay, well, that's an interesting point of view, that you'd create someone exactly like you with who only expressed your higher qualities. That's good. What would you do? Mr. Greg?
I think, in a way, I can't create anyone that is not like me.
You cannot create anyone who is unlike you.
Yeah.
Go on.
And if I'm in this position, then I'm aware of it. I'm aware that I'm just click my finger and create someone. I'm in a high consciousness. So at that stage, I know what I want to create.
Would you really like to live in a world with someone like yourself, and the two of you are the only two people on earth, so to speak? And no. And well, that's what I'm saying. We want to create someone that we could be harmonious with living with. Well, like Franz now. Wouldn't he be another character who would have certain qualities different from your own, who would be an interesting person to live with? Or would he have different desires than your own? Yes, that's okay. But with qualities that Franz has.
Francesca.
Because he has qualities that have that you admire. And his homosexuality you don't admire for yourself, but the thing is, he has other qualities that are admirable. That's why you've kept him as a friend all these years. Just because a person has different sexual preferences doesn't mean that they are not beautiful beings.
No, that's right.
Okay, so you would create him as the female version of the same, or the male version of the same. But you see what I'm saying? We really wouldn't like to have a person just like ourselves.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
Susan.
Susan. Yeah.
There are many people I speak highly of.
What's that?
There are many people I speak highly of.
Yeah,
That's why you created all of us.
You speak highly of us too?
Yeah.
Of course. But all the time. And Monica, yeah. But well, see, now, that wasn't the first thing to come to your mind. But that would have been interesting, wouldn't it?
What?
Monica.
I didn't think in this connection of a person.
No, I'm thinking of a personality.
Not someone which we know. I wanted to just create general thing in a way.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't bring person next.
Well, that part's good. But what I'm saying to you is the attitudes that Franz has, the attitudes that Monica has, the attitudes that these people have, they're very unique.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think you'd like to create a person exactly like Monica. Because if that personality were in your life, she is a little too independent for you. Because she doesn't need anybody else. And you don't need him.
Hmm? It's nice.
What then?
It's nice.
Oh, yes, it's nice. But it doesn't help to have a friendship that way. It doesn't help to have another person on earth like that. It's not for a sexual partner or anything like that. It's just for a human partner. You follow that? It's someone that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who would be a charming person to be with.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want a, what's his name, the funny boy?
Robin Williams.
You wouldn't want Robin Williams in your world.
Too much.
He'd drive you mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you wouldn't want a Robin Williams. That doesn't mean Robin Williams, but a Robin Williams, because there's a lot of funny people in the world who are like him and have many talents like he has.
That's right, yeah.
But you see, as you're thinking now, you're not done thinking just because the seminar up for today ends, but
no.
you're thinking, what kind of people do you really think are the kind of people your personality would be happy being the only other person on earth with? It's kind of a backward English phrase. But what kind of person, what type of person could you live with?
In a way, independent people, but that doesn't mean you don't share with them.
Oh, yeah.
I know. But generally, I do like these people.
I'm sure that a person like Monica, with her personality and so forth, and you, and she being the only people on earth, you would share a great deal.
Yeah.
If she were a he or she were a she, it doesn't matter.
Pretty much with anyone who share a lot, if you're just the only person.
No. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, maybe.
There are people you can't
right,
wait to get away from.
Yeah.
and you wouldn't. But you see, I'm working with you now, seemingly on a humorous thing, but I'm working with you on a very important thing. Who are you? What is your personality? Are you the type of person that other people would like to be alone with on this planet? Would you be a fulfilling person to another person who was equally magnificent? And would you be the kind of person they'd like to be alone with, or you'd like to be alone with? By alone, that doesn't mean any other thing except that there's nobody else there.
It's not easy to think about.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not easy. It's
Christina, what kind
of...
Right. Christina, what kind of person do you think would be a super person to have as a second person alone with you on the planet?
Well, I think not necessarily somebody who's totally similar to me.
Well, I meant as a, like we just described,
yeah.
What personality, you know, what type of attitude.
What kind?
Yeah.
Well, independent.
Yes.
Gentle.
Yes.
Respectful. And
yeah.
Loving and...
Of?
Himself.
Yeah.
Itself.
Yeah, I like that himself. that's fine. That's fine. The himself is just great. But himself is a neutral gender. But it's respectful of themselves, respectful of their attitudes, of their life, of their being, of their body, and everything else, you know. Okay, anything else? Yeah, we're fine. It's just fine. Yeah. But that's
the main thing.
That's the main thing, right. Well, now, isn't that simple? Mm-hmm. Isn't that without limitation?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you know who respect themselves and who enjoy their own company and who are the type of people you're describing there? Not very many. And the reason you don't know many who are like that is because everybody in the world basically is trying to please somebody else. They're living their life to please someone else. And so long as we live our life to please someone else, we're not achieving anything for ourselves. We're not getting anywhere. Now, you admire that in those people because that's who you are within yourself. Just as Greg admired within others what he is within himself. And Sylvia, she says, you know, my better self.
That's what I mean, qualities like Christina, that's what I would consider.
Yeah, we understand that. Yeah. You just were early in that
right.
aspect, and so now they're all sort of unfolding it more completely, and that's good.
That's what I call my best qualities, yeah.
Yeah.
Gentle, loving.
Anything further, Christina?
No, that's...
Yeah? Yeah, Eileen? Irene?
Well, one of the first pictures I had of that person is that I would create him, one day her, one day a clown, one day an artist, one day just everything which...
Diversity.
Yeah, which I feel I would love to share, or if I want to be alone, he would be off, or, you know, something, a creature which is exactly that... presenting to me what I like, that moment.
That's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Because I couldn't stand
a boy.
The same attitude always. I mean, it's
crazy. Right. You like a being that has diversity in them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, thank you. We asked you, Anita, did we? We asked you? Hmm? Are you going to tell us?
Yes. Well, I got a list.
Wonderful.
I really try to imagine this person now in fuck as a person right in front of me and how this person acts. And what really comes out of it is for me so like it's for sure a man.
So unconditional loving challenge. So alive and full of enthusiasm, but yet peaceful and totally happy with himself. No need for anything, and the most no need for me. Not a bit. I'm just the topping. I'm like the
topping of the cake.
Yeah, the topping of the cake. And then I think that I'm unconditional loved because I'm not needed. And then I can enjoy without having ever a guilt feeling, just be myself and have a ball. And see this person doing exactly the same. Always being himself, having fun. And if I like to share that, I do. If not, then I don't. Just so nice. I'm just all in it, like the peace, the inner peace, but also so adventurous and full of enthusiasm to do things. Just for everything a little bit. And definitely a challenge.
I mean, that sounds like a healthy relationship.
Yeah, for me it would be.
Mm. Oh, very good, very good. And Stefan, what would you say?
I would say a person who likes themselves.
Yes.
Who is mischievous.
Yes.
Who has humor, a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Who is loving, gentle, and who has adapts to themselves. Spiritual depth, a person who can, whom I can be silent with, and it's perfectly okay, and whom I can talk all night long, I can laugh and dance and have a ball. That's very general, but
no, that's a good start. That's a good start. Now, what have we had ringing through all of everybody's here? What has everybody been saying?
A free spirit.
Hmm?
A free spirit as partner.
Yeah, right. Adventurous free spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Independent.
What?
Independent.
Independent, right. Mm-hmm. What else?
Liking themselves.
Liking themselves very much. That's important. Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
Unconditionally loving.
That's supreme.
No, that was said.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean that is the simbono.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Respectful.
Yes, yes. And like you said, to have a diversity of personalities. The clown, the joyous person, the whatever, you know.
To pull out, like, you know, we have everything in us.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
Just pull it out, whatever feels right at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, play and play what you feel, you know, so not uninhibited.
But can you see how we had to work so hard to get this out of you? All of you said, I want them just like me, but you don't really mean that. You want them like your highest self. You want them to be like the fulfillment of the essence of man and woman, you know, the highest and best. That's really something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And like Stefan brought out, depth to them, depth with them spiritually, depth with them emotionally, depth with them physically and educationally, that they are not just surface people. Somebody who really likes himself and has an understanding of life. Now, maybe they're well read in the arts and the sciences. Maybe they're intellectual. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just charming people, you know. Because to be intellectual doesn't necessarily mean that you got a lot on the ball. Mark is not an intellectual person, yet Mark is more intellectual than most intellectual people. Yeah. Well, I think you've done very well. You've really come up very beautifully here. Be the first. You've thought about this. You've thought about the idea of what it would be like to be the first, to be alone, to be Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and stuff like that, and to live with someone who is harmonious and joyful with you, to have a relationship with people who can make you feel that they like themselves and they enjoy your company. You know, it's not just a matter that they need you or want you for a fulfillment of something or other, but they enjoy your company, and where you can enjoy their company. So think about these things now. You brought up some good ideas, and you brought up some good concepts. Now, think very happily about this. Tonight, when you go to bed, when you go to sleep, just think, I know my pure archetypal self. I know my pure archetypal self. And this word is not right, but I think you understand it better. I know what my perfect friend consists of. I know how to define my perfect friend, you know. You understand what I mean by that? Someone that you would enjoy having as a friend to whatever depth you choose to go. But you see, when you put those two together, you're going to come up with some interesting ideas. I know what my perfect friend consists of, what my perfect friend is, how to evaluate it. And you see, the nice thing is here, we're evaluating concepts, not personalities. We're not looking at friends, we're not looking at other people. Who's buzzing here? By the way, that buzzing in the middle of the night is not desirable.
Did it decide it?
Yes, it did.
I didn't hear it one time.
He had to go up and search it. Didn't you dig it out of there? Well, you dug it out.
This is only when the generator works and we have a little bit.
No. You dug out the alarm clock this morning.
Oh, that's true.
Stephen, did
I
you
dug the alarm clock from someone.
That was
from
my
someone?
Problem.
Yeah.
When I stood on the shower, I thought, oh, I think I just put it back.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't click it right.
It's still going?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, that's what I was saying. this is good. But we know the perfect person that we would like to, that we feel comfortable with. So do that in your dream, before your dream, and during your sleep, you will come up with some very interesting things. And then perhaps in the morning, we can talk some more about it. Because I think that is very important for our personal health, to know what we consider values for our personality and the people that we associate with. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I love you.
Thank you.